buckle your seatbelt and hold on. Where Nashville music scene comes alive, right where you are. You're listening to Notable Nashville Podcast with your host, Groove Dr. J. Don't miss a beat.
Hey, my name's Ash Taylor, and this is my song, Family. Just a sign knowing you can always come back. And yeah, we've got dirty laundry that we may hide. But if these walls could talk, they'd tell you of the love inside. From the slamming doors, mud on the floors, saying goodnight prayers to the I'm sorry. Said, a friend will come and go, but blood is a forever friend. And no one will understand you like I get to. Cause every part of me is a part of you. From the slamming doors, mud on the floors, saying it's just a sign knowing you can always come back.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Notable Nashville Podcast. Today's guest is Ash Taylor. Thanks for joining us today, Ash.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to talk about your rebranding, because I was listening to a podcast that you were just on.
Yeah.
With what was it? Now Hear This Entertainment.
That's right. Yeah.
And they were talking about you used to go by Ashley, but there was something going on with your music where there was another Ashley Taylor that, you know, you couldn't access your actual music.
Yeah. So it's a crazy story. But I was one of over 100,000 independent artists that I know of. What happened actually is that there is no other Ashley Taylor, but I had a verified artist Facebook page, and, you know, I've been an artist here in town for a couple of years, had a really good size following, and, you know, I've worked hard to kind of get where I am.
And one day, in October of 2020, I literally woke up and I got an email from Facebook saying that I was removed as the admin from my verified artist page. And I'm like, what? So this kind of led down this long road to where basically what had happened is this was the same day that Facebook rolled out what they call a business suite.
Okay.
And so it used to be pages and they switched to business suite. Well, the day that they did that, it opened them up to be hacked. And so basically someone, we believe in Indonesia, decided to sell my Facebook page on the black market for a lot of money. And they essentially removed me as the admin and they took over my Facebook page.
Oh my gosh.
So what's kind of unfortunate for that, if you're an artist though, is what I think a lot of people don't understand, because they're like, oh, well, it was just a Facebook page. Well, for starters, it had a blue check mark, which means that person can mesh his fans. They can try to get money from them. So that honestly, of course, made me super angry because like, don't do that to people. But, you know, most importantly though, it's like, well, that's also tied to my Spotify. So that's how I upload music. That's also linked to all these accounts in which I sell tickets.
Oh, so your actual Facebook was linked to Spotify? I didn't know that.
Oh
I
yeah.
It was
yeah.
Linked to it.
If you're a, you know, someone with like a, especially like a verified check mark, you basically are encouraged to kind of link all of that stuff together.
Yeah.
And so when they hacked my Facebook, they got my business bank account. They got all of this information all through my Facebook, and I didn't do anything. I literally just woke up and it was gone. And so it kind of led me on this very long journey to where basically I contacted the police. I tried talking to Facebook. All there was, you know, basically like robots there that kind of message you back. I went to the FBI. I did anything and everything for about a year to try to get it back. And in the meantime, couldn't really do anything musically. And so kind of just went into what I say is the hardest year of my life for sure.
Oh, wow.
Because I love to write songs. I love to make music. I love being an artist. And so it kind of was this weird thing where it was like, well, this person has basically taken my name, my face. They've taken all these things that I worked for. And I kind of don't know what to do.
Yeah. So what year did this happen?
2020.
Oh, so.
And on top of it.
The pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, and that was the hard thing too, right? It's like, so I'm dealing with this, which is horrible, but we're all kind of going through stuff. And then all of your shows get canceled anyway. And it, you know, it was just 2020 was not a good year for me. Let's put it that way. But, you know, I hate to say it, but like with all that kind of happening, because it's like, well, I can't play shows because of the pandemic. And then it's like, you know, I'm not really sure what to do, because it's like, you know, they even took away my personal Facebook page because they said I was impersonating Ashley Taylor. And I'm like, no, trust me, I really am that person. Like, I really am. But, you know, it, honestly, though, and I never thought I would have said this, I'm really grateful that it happened, because it kind of, like I said, I didn't pick up a guitar or sing a note or anything for over a year. And I didn't know what to do. And I was like, should I just quit music? And I if you would have known me, you would have known that I never would have said that. And honestly, truthfully, you know, my husband, who's sitting right here next to me today, was like, nope, we're not quitting. We're going to figure it out. And so I just didn't know what to do for a while. And, you know, my mom has always called me Ash. Like, if you call me Ashley, that means we're not friends. Like it's, you know, so my whole family's always called me Ash. And it just kind of seemed like a very natural thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, if they took my name, it sucks. But I would love to go make music again and just do what I love to do,
right.
And kind of not let this just ruin my career and beat me down. And so, sure enough, I looked online and there are no other Ash Taylors, at least not at that time. So I got the URLs and I got the usernames, and I went on this whole rebranding phase. So I started my rebrand June 1st of 2021.
Okay.
And honestly, though, like I said, I'm glad it happened, because it's like, so many good things have come from that. And yeah. I actually think, because I did also have a break and took some time, I think I know a lot more about myself as an artist and everything now than I did back then. So it was almost like a complete fresh start. And I don't think a lot of people get to have that.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for it, honestly.
Yeah,
I think
that's
it was
great.
One
I'm
of
glad.
The best things that ever happened.
I'm glad you didn't give up.
Thanks, man. Me too. I'm happy to be here with you today. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I think you almost just really have to persevere sometimes as an independent artist. But that 2020 year almost took it out of me, but we got it. We figured it out.
I feel like it took a lot out of a lot of people. So
amen. Yes.
But I want to bring up your backstory, because you're from Bakersfield, California.
Yeah,
we were talking about a mutual friend, Jeb, who kind of set us up.
Yes.
And so Jeb is from Bakersfield as well?
He is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So talk about kind of how you came to Nashville, or when that happened, or how you made it here.
So, yeah, I'm from Bakersfield, California, and I was living out there. I went to audio school out there, actually.
Okay.
So that's how I got my start in music. And I basically decided, after kind of graduating from audio school, that it just wasn't creative enough for me, you know? And so I started to write songs pretty hardcore in my bedroom, and I had maybe experimented with it a little bit, but not very much. But I started to write songs and just take it really seriously. And I kind of just started to realize that I wanted to know how it all worked. I wanted to know how you write better songs. How do I write hit songs? How do I connect with an audience? How do I do these things? So it kind of led me to honestly to just go online and just kind of try to figure everything out. And amidst just trying to figure out how to write better songs while I'm a kid and Bakersfield just writing songs in my bedroom, I stumbled along this really cool online community called Songtown USA. And if you've never heard of it, it's literally just a online community for songwriters, and it's ran by two hit songwriters, which is Marty Dotson and then a guy named Clay Mills. And I ended up getting just to know Clay and Marty super well through just, you know, sending them songs to critique and kind of just being involved in that community. And so after a while, Clay Mills, who is just a great guy but also a phenomenal writer, he wrote Beautiful Mess by Diamond Rio and like Don't Think I Don't Think About It by Darius Rucker. I mean, he's written multiple hits. He came to me one day and he said, Marty and I were talking and he goes, we think that you're super talented and we think that you're, you know, really great and everything. He goes, but I'm going to just straight up tell you right now. He goes, you are never going to become successful writing songs in your bedroom. And so if you don't come to Nashville, just know that like that's not going to work for you. And so I was like, deal. So he ended up offering me an internship and he said, if you can get here to Nashville, he goes, you're our intern for a whole year. So I literally sold everything I owned. I had never seen Nashville before, never been here, nothing. I sold everything I own and I got on a plane and I came out here and I just got the opportunity to essentially like intern for these guys and intern for Songtown. But more importantly, that's where I learned how to write songs.
Wow.
And, you know, just how all the business worked and all the ins and the outs. And so it was a great opportunity. But, you know, when I moved here, I didn't even really know Marty and Clay, you could say, you know, I just knew them from online.
Yeah.
So I slept the first year in Nashville was crazy, but like, you know, I didn't have a job. So I got a job working at Guitar Center my first day, luckily.
Okay.
Went in to buy a guitar because I didn't have one. And sure enough, they gave me a job on the spot. So I got a day job.
Sweet.
First day. And then I went ahead and, you know, I mean, man, I slept in the backseat of my Chrysler 06 PT Cruiser for a while. I would like meet people and connect and then like sleep on their couches. So when I came out here, I literally had nothing.
So you just sold everything that you,
yes,
had.
Yes. Because, well, some would say because I'm stupid, which I can agree. I get that. I always say, I hope I never have a daughter and I hope she's nothing like me if we do. But, the truth of it is like, I love country music. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, like, you know, where I'm from, even, you know, being in Bakersfield, it's like that's the home of, you know, Buck Owens and Merle Haggard. So even just being from there, you are inundated with country music. And I never even realized how big of an effect that has until I went somewhere like, you know, Nashville or, you know, you go visit places. But it's like country music has always just been my life.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like I love this thing so much and I love to write songs and I love to do all these things so much that I would gladly go sleep on my couch again if I had to, because this is just what I really, really enjoy doing.
You're really
passionate about it. Yeah, I don't know really what else to do. And I just am grateful for God for directing the steps. And like I said, I'd gladly go do it again.
Absolutely.
So happy to be here in Nashville for sure.
So when you were working for Guitar Center, did you meet anybody through that, like that you wrote with or anything? Or obviously you met a lot of people through the internship. But...
Yeah, I met a lot of people through the internship. Honestly, there was a time for at least my first 3 years here in town, I would write with anyone and everyone. So if I met you at Guitar Center and you wrote songs, it didn't matter if you wrote jazz and I write country, we're going to get together and write, you know? So I just kind of wrote with everybody,
so
honestly.
So you did connect with people while you were working there?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, well, and even, you know, coming down here to, you know, playing a show or a writer's round here in like downtown or something, it's like, you know, if I met anyone and they wrote songs, I would try to write with them.
Okay.
So I did that for a long time.
Wow.
So, but I just, you know, they were like, yeah, that's what we do here is we co-write and all. And I was like, we're going to do it. Like, I've never done it before, but.
Yeah, this is the town for co-writes.
It is. And it's a cool, magical thing. You know, I think there's a community here that kind of supports creatives and that, you know, supports that. And that's something I don't think there is anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I think the community here, the fact that like, you know, we can sit here and do a podcast together, or, you know, you can go down the street and play with someone you've never met and just jam. It's really cool.
Yeah,
like how that
is.
Works. It's like a bond.
So I'm interested to know when your passion for songwriting came about. Like, when did you realize you had the ability to, you know, pick up a guitar and just write your own songs.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I feel like I was kind of a late bloomer. I picked up a guitar in high school. I was about 17. I wrote my very first song. It was just a short little thing that I made up, actually making fun of my younger brother. And so my family used to sing it though. So I was like, well, at least it's catchy. But, you know, I dabbled kind of throughout high school, but I was, you know, basically in college. I had gone through graduated high school and I was, you know, well into audio school and I graduated and I was interning at studios. And so that was kind of at the time, like how I was in music. I didn't feel like it was creative enough. So that's when I was like, well, let me try the songwriting thing. And I felt really good and like super, super at home with it. And so that's kind of what led me to just try to get better at that. And then when I moved to town, I moved here just to be a writer. You know, I just wanted to write songs for other people. I love songwriting. I'm like, this is great. And then I was here for maybe about a year or so. And then people were like, nope, you're an artist. And I was like, really? I don't know. Am I? And then I became an artist and I was like, nah, this is it. Like, this is where I belong. Yeah. I love songwriting and it's such an important part of what I do and who I am as a person. I also really love to play guitar. I love to travel. I love to connect with people. Mm-hmm. I like to go make fans. Even if you're nervous, I love to perform. I love being in a studio. Yeah. I love everything about it. Like it just, for me, it's like, man, like there is no better job.
Like, that's very cool.
Yeah. I love it.
So your husband's here. You mentioned, played that first tune with you. What was that first one called?
The first one's called Family.
Family. And when did you meet Chris, your husband?
I met Chris in 2018. I actually met him at Guitar Center. So there's a good connection that came from Guitar Center. I was writing songs with one of my friends, Miss Dallas Remington. She's an artist here in town. And we were really good friends and, you know, like I said, wrote a bunch of songs together. And Chris was actually the lead guitar player in her band. And she came to see me one day at work and she said, there's this guy and you absolutely have to meet him. And I said, I didn't want a boyfriend. And she goes, well, just meet him. And so we met and after a while we, you know, just became friends and then started dating. And we're going to be married for 2 years at the end of next month.
Wow, congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. So we're happily married. And, you know, at first, like he didn't really play guitar on my stuff or anything. I told him, no, you know, we can't mix personal and business, you know, right? And then one night he did it and I said, oh man. So now I'm really grateful to have him here with me today, but he is my band leader. So he leads my band and he is kind enough to come with me and just play lead guitar. And it's kind of cool to be best friends and married, but then also be able to, you know, come on out and just play music together and have fun. It's great.
It's good companionship.
Absolutely, sure. Yeah.
So I want to talk about this project that you're putting out. Is it a three-part acoustic EP that you're putting out?
So it's a three-song acoustic EP. It comes out Friday, May 5th.
Okay.
And it'll be available on Spotify and all that, kind of anywhere music is sold. So it's literally Chris and I, my husband, just in the studio. We went into my really good friend Pat Lasseter's studio, and we just recorded these tracks. So it's two guitars and a vocal.
Sweet.
And just had a really great time doing it. So we're releasing that. And then we're also going to be, just to kind of show people and promote, we also have like the performance videos from that. Okay. And we'll be releasing one a month after the release of the EP. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
So who's going to be like doing the production on the recording? Is it all going to be done by you? Or are you going to have people come in and
Pat Lasseter did it all.
Oh, Pat Lasseter.
So yeah. He's, you're not familiar with him. Just fantastic human being, great guy. But he played in the Charlie Daniels band. He's actually a bass player by trade.
Wow. Okay.
He played bass with Charlie Daniels, Lori Morgan. I mean, like name somebody, he's probably played bass. But he his passion really has always been recording and audio engineering.
Okay.
And he just has a fantastic studio. And he's just, like I said, a great guy. I've known him for a long time. Way back in the day when I moved to town, I did my first EP with him. And so we've been friends for years. And it's like, he's just such a great guy.
Yeah.
So when Chris and I went in to do this project, you know, it's very intimate, I feel like, you know, because there's not a lot of hide behind. It's just two guitars and a vocal.
Stripped down,
raw, real.
Yep.
You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, all there. And so I think it was cool to have Pat there, though, with him just being a good friend, because it just made everyone feel like at home.
Yeah.
You know, at least for me, it's like I feel so comfortable working with him that it was just like, it's like I literally have my family around me and we're just going to sit here and play songs and make music.
That's pretty
special. And it was great. Yeah. It was the most fun I've ever had doing a project, hands down.
So you talk about your passion for live music too. You played a lot of venues around Nashville, mm-hmm. like Bluebird Cafe, which is historic. And
yeah,
you know, what's your kind of favorite places to play around town?
Man, you know, I always just feel grateful anytime I get a step on a stage. And I know that maybe sounds cliche, but especially after 2020, I genuinely mean that because mm-hmm. I think it's special. I would say, though, the Bluebird is definitely a special one. We were talking about when I first moved to town and I slept in the backseat of my car, I used to sleep out in the parking lot of the Bluebird.
Oh, really?
I really did because I wanted to be there so bad.
And this was before you even played it?
Oh, yeah, way before. Okay. Yeah, just when I was a baby and I moved to town. I played it for the first time in actually February of 2020. So it was right before the lockdown and sold out show. It was amazing. That was my first time. And then I just played it again back in November. And it was super special because it was in the round and there was a lady there, the featured hit writer. Her name was Kirsty Manna, who wrote like Austin for Blake Shelton and lots of other hits. But it's so cool to be there and to play there because of the history of it. Mm-hmm. I'm also just a big fan of history and the special feeling you get in that room and the honor that it is to be there. But to also sit there with so many other talented artists and hear their songs, but then to hear someone who has written songs that, you know, just have changed your life.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting two feet away and you're hearing him play it and tell a story. And it's just, it's such a cool feeling. But no, I love to play the Bluebird. I also love to play the Listening Room. I mean, there's so many great venues here around town. So yeah, lots and lots of great venues. So I love playing here. I think my favorite thing though is actually going and playing shows out of town. Because I think that is really where there's a great fan base to be made.
Oh yeah.
And I think, you know, for many, many years, every weekend I would load up my guitar into the back of my car and I would just go play bars every single weekend for years. And that's genuinely kind of how I've made my fan base is,
wow.
you know, one bar, one stage, one person at a time. But I've done that for a long time and, I've loved the memories that I've gotten from it and the people I've connected with. And we have a super cool fan club. They're called the Bad Ashes.
Bad Ashes.
Bad
like
Ashes,
it.
Man. But no, they're great. And they're just super supportive. And, you know, that's kind of how I've met a lot of them and how I continue to grow a fan base. So,
yeah. Do you have anything on the books right now for out of town?
Right now, we are going to be at least immediate, like that we've announced. We are going to be going on up to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And we're going to be playing what they call the Blue Plate Special on Wednesday, the 26th of April.
April 26th?
April 26th.
Head on out.
Yeah.
Sweet. I do want to talk about this backstory that I heard about your song, Play Like Ken.
Yeah.
That somebody mentioned that you play like a man, and you're like, oh, you took it into a song, or kind of tell the story behind that song.
Yeah, yeah. So I was still pretty new to the artist thing, but I was up one day playing a show out of town, and I get off stage, and this guy comes up, and I like to describe him as just a big Southern teddy bear. And he comes up to me and he goes, "My God, you play guitar like a man." And I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
And he meant it as a total compliment. He was super sweet. And we got to talking and finally I just said, "Well, hell, brother, I don't know. I guess I just look like Barbie and play like Ken." And so I pack up my gear and I get in the car and I was thinking about that. And I was like, look like Barbie, play like Ken. I'm like, there's a song in there. There's a song. So I put on the, you know, like voice recording on my iPhone as I'm driving. And just the song came out, probably wrote it in about maybe 30 minutes. And so I went home and recorded just a little home demo of it. And just through a long story and series of events, I was able to get that to Miranda Lambert's team. And they were able to go ahead and put that song on hold, meaning basically like, don't do anything with this song.
I want to record it.
Yes.
This
is in the running to be on my next album. And I hadn't been in town very long either when all this happened. And so I was like, whoo, this songwriting thing, this is really easy. Like I got this. But, you know, she had it on hold for quite a while. And then eventually she ended up giving it back.
Passing on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know how many Miranda Lambert fans we have in the house, but there was a breakup album called The Weight of These Wings. Amazing album. That was the record that they were
going to put it on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so if you hear that song and how sassy and fun and upbeat it is,
yeah, it doesn't really tie.
It doesn't fit that record. So I get why, and I'm not offended, but yeah, so I got the song back and then, it's been a fan favorite. Like we've played it at shows for a long time and everything. And I would say, I mean, a lot of people just react really well to that song. So when we were doing this acoustic version, I'm like, well, let's do an acoustic version. Yeah. You know, let's put this on the acoustic sessions and put it on the EP because fans enjoy that song. And so it's kind of cool, too, because why I would have loved it if Miranda Lambert recorded that. And if she called me tomorrow and said, hey, I would be like, girl, it's yours.
Take it down.
Come on now. It's all you. Because my bank account would really like that.
Yes.
So, but, you know, it is my story, though.
Yeah.
You know, and it very much like everything I say in that song, it's like, well, that's just my life, you know.
Right.
So I kind of am in a way kind of glad, though, that she maybe gave it back and probably won't call me tomorrow. Because when you, I'm not really attached to songs, I feel like. But with that one especially, it's like, well, it is my story, right?
For sure.
So why not tell it?
Well, I kind of want to hear a live version of it right now if you want to play it.
Yeah.
But before we go, thanks for joining us today. You want to plug your socials where we can find your music?
Yeah, absolutely. The easiest place to go is actually my website, which is ashtaylor.com. But you can find me on Instagram at ashtaylorcountry and pretty much anywhere, actually. Twitter, Facebook, all that at just Ash Taylor Music.
All right, sweet. Thanks, Ash.
Yeah, thank you. Busy jamming on my flat top, saying only boys can play guitar and girls shouldn't look pretty like a movie star. Well, I don't mind pink, but my mama told me I could be anything I wanted to be. Said when I grow up, I'll show me I'm gonna look like Barbie, play like Ken. Lead me to the stage, fire up the band, gonna rock this town with this guitar in my hand, got my lipstick on, let my hair down, I'm cranking it up to 10.
Thanks for tuning in to Notable Nashville Podcast, broadcast from Acme Radio Live, right in the heart of downtown Nashville. Check us out on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And if you like it, you can also support this podcast on Anchor by clicking the link in the platform that you are listening on. Hey, until next time, thanks for listening to Notable Nashville Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Smokers Abbey. They've got everything you could want. Craft cigars, quality pipe tobacco, a huge liquor and draft beer selection, everything you need to find rest for your soul. Smokers Abbey has two locations around the Nashville area, one right in the heart of East Nashville and the other over in Gallatin, Tennessee. So what are you waiting for? Head over to Smokers Abbey today. They're open late.